You're listening to the weekly podcast by Forest Hill Church. Here you'll find a place to grow in your faith, get to know what the Bible's all about, and hear what it looks like to follow Christ. To watch our services live or find the campus nearest you, visit foresthill.org. If you're a parent, search for our new Forest Hill Parenting Podcast and subscribe to get new content tailored just for you.
And we do so because he is resurrected. He's alive because he had an issue that took place. How was your Christmas Eve, Jace?
It was eventful. Not what I expected. I don't know. How about you guys? Was it what you expected? Yeah, I got an eye infection like the week before Christmas, so I was down for the count.
And were you able to watch the Christmas services?
I was with one eye. Okay. Yeah, it was good. It was really good, yeah.
And we some great things took place here at the South Park campus. We had three Christmas Eve services. They were beautiful,
yeah,
wonderful, memorable. Folks came in. You were aware of some things that took place at the other campuses as
yeah,
well?
Yeah, first, just man, what a gorgeous time it was. You had a chance to sing carols and see kids. And for those of you who are parents and grandparents, we gave your kids too much hot chocolate and they threw up in your car on the way home. I'm sorry. But it looked like it was a lot of fun. But here's what happened overall. At the end of those services, you remember, we gave an invitation for everybody to be a part of what Scripture says is true religion, right? To help widows and orphans in their distress, to be able to impact the vulnerable children in all of our communities. This is what happened. We asked for an offering that we planned to give away, not to keep any of that. You guys, God working through you, gave $260,000 towards this idea. Oh my gosh, unbelievable. Yeah, I mean, so on behalf of our church, of every campus, on behalf of the families that will be impacted by this, the children whose lives will be changed and they'll experience the goodness of God coming close, thank you. Really, really good.
That's a great way to start now. The new year, we look at back into 2019 about God's faithfulness.
Yeah.
But now 2020, what are you seeing for 2020? Like, you had a crystal ball, probably not the right thing.
Yeah, well, I see one thing. I know for sure that the Tigers are going to win the college football playoff national championship. I am certain of that.
What ball are you looking into for
some
that?
Of you are going to get that later. But that's one thing. I know that this year's going to be great because we're building on such a good foundation. You know, every good thing's got a solid foundation. Christmas, the way we ended, is one. In February, about 6 weeks from now or so, end of February, we're going to roll out our new vision, kind of this identity we believe God is calling us into and the direction that he's taking us. You do not want to miss that. We're going to be surprised by something.
Are any of you been surprised this past year with anything? I've been surprised by some things in my life as well, too. It's coming.
I got surprised at Christmas.
With?
Not the eye thing. So I decided to let my beard grow out for a few days, you know? And my five-year-old came up to me. This was so surprising. What?
Your beard? Where is?
Yeah, I had to shave it. You'll see why. Because she came up and she was like, Daddy, what's all the white stuff? You know what?
I can't relate to that at
all. I was so surprised at how quickly an eye doctor will get a five-year-old in, because clearly her vision's messed up. That's got to be what that is.
That's why you took it off your face.
That's right, yeah.
But we begin a brand new series today, A to B.
Yep.
And you're going to help us to understand the first step about what true change is like.
Yep.
I've already heard the message. Folks, you're going to be blessed by this. So would you please join me in praying for what is about to happen here and praying for Jason, too, as we begin this brand new series.
And thank you for what you do here.
It's an honor and a privilege to do that with you all and with God's blessing as well, too.
Thanks, man.
Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, first and foremost, thank you for who you are and how you were with us in 2019. I know for some of us it was a difficult year. For some it was a banner year, but you were still God in it. We look ahead to 2020 and realize you're the same God, as good, as faithful, as powerful as always. And so, God, inspire our greater trust and devotion for this next year, every step that we take. As a matter of fact, we pray that you would be with Jason now as he speaks. As he opens up the word, Father, we pray that we come to you with open hearts to be receptive of what you're doing and anticipation of the great things that you will accomplish for your glory in our life as we begin this series today with our brother Jason. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, brother. Thank you, buddy. Well, Happy New Year. I love New Year's. I love the possibility and the potential that comes with a new year. In fact, I love it so much. One of the times when I was growing up playing basketball, one of my coaches said this. He was like, you know, Jason, or he called me Smith. He's like, you know, if I could buy you for your actual value and sell you for your potential value, I'd be so rich. And that should have told me something about the way my career would go and how I ended up here just as a preacher and not an NBA basketball player. But I love potential. Do any of you love this time? It's like there's something about this start over in the beginning of new. And the thing that I love most about it is we feel like we are absolutely in control and able to make steps, to make decisions that will impact the rest of this year. And hey, this year, we're starting not just a new year, a new decade. Like, that's incredible. So over the next few weeks, we're going to talk about the most important things that you do. The things that will change significantly your whole life. How many of you have already made resolutions for the new year? And I'm No one? You are such liars. Somebody's made a resolution and they're about, you know, your weight or your budget or productivity or some all good things, things that may even last into next week. But what we're going to talk about today are things that are about who you are at the core of you, like as a human, as you, that can last literally for eternity. We're going to talk about how to make changes in things like our mental health and purpose, gratitude and connectedness, and all the ways that we'll be living into this new thing that God wants to do, not just with us as a whole, but with you individually. And so I'm really excited about that. This year, I bought myself a Christmas present. It's a book called Finish by John Acuff. Any John Acuff fans in here? So John Acuff writes this book about how we so often we start things and we get really excited about the start, but we're not good at following through and finishing. And he says, look, if you want to do this, he's quoting from some research that was done. He's like, if you want good success at accomplishing a goal, one, make the goal like half as big as you think it should be. Because we all start off with these lofty, huge, I'm going to do keto every single day for the entire year and look like a shriveled up little, you know, whatever. But we're all thinking like we're going to do the big thing. And then what happens is we fail. We miss our first day. We don't hit the gym. We don't read. We don't lay out our week on Sunday night, whatever. And then we just say, it's not even worth it. And we just quit. So he says, start small. These micro habits. Little things that make a big difference. And one of those micro habits, a guy named Daniel Pink talks about, researcher. He says, if you want to become, let's say, a tooth flosser, right? You want to be a person who flosses their teeth. Or dental hygiene, it's really important this time of year. So you want to start with that? Floss one tooth. Commit to flossing one tooth. And seriously, this is not a joke. And if you do that, you'll stand in front of the mirror, floss in hand, you'll do the one tooth, and you'll be like, all right, I'll do one more. And eventually, over time, you will become a tooth flosser. Now, you won't get all the benefits of flossing your teeth every day right away. But who actually does that anyway? But over time, you'll get what you want. So that's how we're going to start. We're going to start with the basics, the foundational piece of how we're going to change this year into the you-iest you, that's now a phrase, the you-iest you that you can possibly be. To do that, we're going to look at several scriptures. If you come around here a lot, you know, I like to try to take one passage and sort of work through it. Today, I'm going to do different. I'm going to give you a whole bunch of scriptures. I want you to make sure you're writing down these references because you're going to come back to them this year. Every day that you feel like I failed and now it's time to throw in the towel, I want you to come back to these. They're going to be powerful building blocks for the future that God is going to build in you and through you this year. So we're going to start with two. I'm going to ask if you're able, could you stand for the reading of God's word? I'm going to be reading to you from a different version than we use usually in here, but I want to try and see what you think about how it sounds. It's called the CSB, the Christian Standard Bible, so it may not be the one you have in your hand, but it's really understandable and readable, and it's very faithful to what the original said. We're going to be reading first out of Ephesians, and this first scripture is the what to do this year, the what to do and how we're going to build this foundation. It says this, take off your former way of life, the old self that's corrupted by deceitful desires, and be renewed in the spirit of your minds. And put on the new self, the one created according to God's likeness. Get that, a new you created in a way that looks like, acts like, seems like God in righteousness and purity of the truth. Take off and put on. That's what to do. And 2 Corinthians 5:17, scripture tells us that if you trust in Christ, wow, look, brand new creation. Something new has come. But there's an activity that we engage in of taking off the old and putting on the new. Second, same writer in a book called Philippians 3, verses 13 and 14. This is why to do it. He says, brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself to have taken hold of it, of the new life. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and reaching forward to what is ahead, I pursue as my goal the prize promised by God's heavenly call in Christ Jesus. Here's why we do this. Because you cannot take hold of what's next without letting go of what was. If you want to live into the new thing that God is going to do in you this year, you cannot grab it while still holding on to the past. You can't grab this fulfilling, purposeful, dynamic life that Jesus wants you to have while still holding on to your empty, aimless, status quo, safe life of the past. So we're going to begin doing that together today. That was God's word. You guys can be seated. The interesting and beautiful, even compelling, I think, part of the Christian faith is that it's not a religion that's a bunch of rules that you just understand, master, assent to, and then kind of build your life living into. It's way different than that. The Christian life is actually a relationship. At its core, it is connecting to our Creator, Savior, and friend God through Christ. It is us moving towards Him and developing a relationship that's the most impactful relationship that any of us experience in our lives. We have impactful human relationships, and there's some parallels between those and our relationship with God that I want to show you. We're going to do some relationship 101. And so, like, I hope that you'll apply this and understand it through the filter of God. But it also is true of your human relationships. So if you want to go about building better ones this year, consider this free advice. It's kind of like the add-on to what you've already purchased. So glad that you're here today. Here's what we're going to talk about, relationship 101. The most impactful relationships, I think, have three things in common. The first thing is that they meet you where you are. Have you ever met somebody, maybe it was when school semester started this year, you went to them and you found somebody that with the first moment you talked, they just get you, you know, or you just get them. Maybe it was a teammate, maybe it was a coworker. These people are, we are treasuring those kind of people. We move towards them. We hang on to them. Sometimes we marry them. You know, this the one that just gets you. It meets you right where you are without you having to pretend or be somebody else. This is how God did that with us. Same book as we started with, Ephesians chapter 2. Write this reference down. Ephesians 2, 4 and 5. He says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love that he had for us, made us alive with Christ." So God's love for us and mercy towards us caused us to come alive. When? He says, even though we were what? Dead in trespasses. God caused us to begin to become alive even while we were still dead. He met us where we were as rebels. In fact, it was kind of even hard to be a rebel. He says, spiritually, you weren't even breathing, moving. You couldn't think. You couldn't act. You couldn't do anything. You were completely disconnected from God, and so was I. And in his love for us at that moment, he moved toward you. Imagine a relationship where a person who despises you, who wants nothing to do with you, and they've made it very clear through their actions and their words, imagine you having the love that superseded the fear of moving towards that person and saying, I'm going to love you and move towards you anyway. I'm going to let go of all the stuff that would come between us right now because I love you. That's how God does with us. He meets us right where we are. This is the best, most beautiful line in Scripture right here. You are saved by grace, simply because he wanted to. God meets us right where we are. Secondly, most impactful relationships, they teach us something about ourselves. Have you ever noticed when you get to know a person really deeply, they begin to show you things about who you are that you didn't really understand before? This happens in every kind of like best friend relationships. Could be marriage. For me, it happened in my marriage. A couple of examples. One, before I married Jessica, I did not know that I hung pictures and mirrors incorrectly in my house. I had no idea. And I had a lot of apartments and rental houses, so I had a lot of practice. But she comes into my house when we first started dating, and she's like, this is like a freak show. You can't see in any of the mirrors here. What's wrong? And I'm like, well, I hang them at eye level. And she's like, you're freakishly tall. That's not eye level for anyone else. That's wrong. And so she taught me how to put things at a place where normal humans could experience them. I have this problem all the time. I keep my keys and everything out of my pocket on top of the refrigerator. I walk in, I put it right there because it's right here to me. If I come to your house, I swear I won't look at the dirt on top of your refrigerator. I promise. But I learned that I hung mirrors wrong. She learned stuff too, and I did get her permission to share this. She learned that we have different definitions of what on time means. And this caused a lot of friction for us for a while. But here's the thing, my definition of on time, and maybe some of you are laughing because you had this too, my definition of on time is 5 minutes before whatever the start time is, you're in your seat. Like that's what I was taught, that's the way you do it. her definition of on time, now my wife is an artist, so time is at a different dimension that she's used to. She's present fully in whatever she's doing. So time doesn't mean as much to her. Her definition of on time is that you're in the parking lot at the time that something starts. Like, that's good. Or you can see the parking lot from wherever you are on the street at the time something starts. If you know vaguely where the parking lot is and you're pretty sure by the time it starts, you're on time for her. I thought she was being inconsiderate for like 7 years of our marriage. Like, how is this possible? She thought I was being ridiculous because we had different definitions. I learned this about myself. I learned deeper stuff too, not just about that. I learned, if any of you are Enneagram people, I'm an Enneagram 2. So you're gonna, if you are, you'll share my pain. I learned that I keep score, and not in a good way. One of the plagues of my wiring and the way I was raised is that I want to help. I want you to be good, and I want to be the reason. Like, that's just true. I kind of like this honesty at the beginning of the year. But I hope you don't hate me for this. It's just the reality of the struggle that I deal with, and maybe some of you do too. I always thought I was super selfless, like willing to jump in and help and do whatever was needed all the time. But in the back of my mind, I was keeping score and tagging them up. And I was going to pull that out one day when I needed it. And so Jessica, because she got to know me so well, because it was a high impact relationship, is like, you are the most selfish person I've ever met. I'm like, what are you talking about? I'm like known for being selfless. I'm the guy that always shows up when you need to move or whatever. She's like, yeah, because you want something later. I'm like, oh, you're right. Dang. I mean, and it was really kind of painful, but it was liberating and it was a space for me to grow. This is what the best kind of relationships do. Let me tell you about how God engages you with this. Psalm 139, write that reference down. 139, 1-4. The writer says, you have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all of my ways. This is the God of the universe, the one who spoke a word and made planets exist and put stars in galaxies, who created that tiny insect in the middle of the Amazon rainforest that we haven't even discovered yet. That God says, before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. He knows us in ways we don't even know ourselves. And his desire is to teach us about ourselves, to show us where we've not fit into who he's always dreamed that we could be. To teach us how to live a life that is full of meaning and purpose, unlike the one that we sometimes find ourselves in. To show us how to be free from the things that we imprison ourselves with. That's this kind of God. He meets us where we are. He teaches us about ourselves. And the third thing that's important in relationships that are high impact is they provide safe space or safety for you to grow. As you develop, and really what we're talking about is intimacy, as you develop that with someone, and particularly with your creator, you find that you no longer are chained to this performance-based standard of living up to that for their love. When you get in a relationship with another human like this, you can be yourself, you can try things and fail, and the same with your God. He wants you to engage in that. He's not afraid of our mistakes and our failures. He's not afraid of us trying and doing what we can to be who he's asked us to be out of a loving response to what he's done for us. He's not scared of our mistakes. It's one of the most compelling parts of Christianity, is that you can come in just like you are, and God loves you so much he won't let you stay that way, and he'll walk with you through the change. He'll help you go from A to B. So those three aspects of relationships are what create intimacy. You add in trust, which is built over time, and you get intimacy. And intimacy is what causes us to find actual power for change in our lives. This is what you and I want. Even if you're a total introvert, even if you've been hurt before, even if you feel like you're shut down and you're a make it your own way kind of person, there is a part of you in your deepest core and fabric of your being that wants intimacy with someone else. And you know what? It's not just someone, it's God. That's what you were made for. We're going to talk in the next couple of minutes about how to build an intimate relationship this year that allows you to be fully known exactly where you are right now, that will show you about yourself and what needs to change, and that will provide the safe space for you to do that change, participate in it over time. That's what we're gonna be about in the next few minutes. That's what we're gonna be about in this whole series. So, this kind of intimacy provides several benefits, but one of them that I wanna talk to you about today, because it's gonna be really important for this year, is this idea of as you grow intimate and close in a relationship with God, you begin to get to know what he wants, what he likes, how he acts, how he responds. You ever experienced this with a person before? You know, as you get more and more time with your best friend, you start to even know how they're gonna react in certain situations. You don't even need to ask, you just know what they like. This happened with me and Jessica too. One example is she can order for me in any restaurant we go to. Doesn't matter if we've ever been there before or not. I always will take the special unless it has mayonnaise and cilantro. Without those two things, I'm good. I want adventure. I'll try anything that they put on this new. She always wants the same thing the same way. That's just, she knows about, she can order for me anytime. I know about her. I know that she absolutely despises the fact that I leave the water running the entire time I'm doing the dishes. Stop judging me, I see it on your faces. I just think it's easier, I think it makes sense that it's a cue to everybody else that the dishes are happening so I can keep score, you know what I'm saying? Like, it just makes sense to me, you just leave the water on. And it drives her nuts. And so I know now, I can tell without even asking if she's irritated, I'm doing it, that's the reason why. This same thing happens with our Heavenly Father. As you get in a relationship with your Creator, you will begin, you don't need the rule. You begin to know what it is that he wants, how he thinks, how he loves, what he would do, and you can certainly move into responding to him in that way. This intimacy builds up over time to the point that you and I can look at the scriptures and we can read and find out about how he's acted in the past so we know how he might act in the future, but you begin to develop what's called discernment. You begin to develop this ability like a sixth sense. You know, you've got your sight and taste and hearing and smell and touch and all of that. And we all have those in various amounts. And this discernment idea is something like a sixth sense that we can have. Now, for many of us, it lays dormant. We don't touch it. We ignore it. Kind of like my abs. We just kind of don't mess with it at all. And it can apathy and shrivel up. But you can also develop and build it over time. And the way you do it is by building your relationship, your intimacy with God. And here's why that's important. Because you and I, we're gonna need some discernment this year. The surprises I talked about at the beginning, they're gonna come, and you're gonna have to figure out what to do in those situations. And I hope for many of you that when those decision points, when the choices, when you've evaluated, now you've gotta take action on something, when that comes, I hope that what you're asking is, God, what should I do here? What I don't want for you is that you feel as if the only way to get that answer is to, you know, grab your Bible and go like, okay, let's see, it's March 21st, so what's 3:21? Let me find a verse, there's a secret message in here. That's sometimes how we act with God. Like somehow there's a rule somewhere or there's a code and you can figure out what to do in this moment. What I wanna tell you is that if you will spend the time to develop intimacy with him this year, you don't have to have that. You go to the scriptures to get to know him, not to just find out whether to go A or B. And here's the reason that you're gonna need discernment, and I am too. Because biblical discernment is this. Here's a definition. It's to examine, prove, or test. The ability to decide between truth and error, right and wrong, and get this, good and best. We're gonna have moments this year where you're gonna have two choices in front of you, and they're both okay. They're both allowed. And you've gotta decide which one is good and which one is best. Those aren't so easy, but as you get in tune, in sync with your Creator, you begin to find that you have the discernment to make the right choice. Some of those decisions will seem like they're good versus best, but they're actually truth and error decisions. Some of us are gonna have resolved, and maybe you already have, that you are gonna be happy this year. You know, you laid out your vision board, you're choosing happiness or whatever, you're going after that. And you're going to come up to a point in time where what you think is choosing happiness is actually the most destructive decision that you could make. It's going to be to walk out on somebody. It's going to be to leave a job. It's going to be to cut off a relationship. And you're going to say, that's what I need for happiness. And I'm telling you that as you develop a relationship that lets you discern this from your Creator, you'll be able to choose between truth and error, because that decision will leave you in a worse place than before you made it. We need this kind of discernment. And God gives it to us. This is what's so cool about this idea of Christianity being a relationship, is it's not like here's the set of rules, good job, let's see how you pass, what grade you make at the end of your life. This is a dynamic, ongoing relationship with him, and he gives things to us in the moment. Here's one of the things that he says in 2 Peter 1, 3 through 4. Write that down too. You're going to want this for later. It says, his divine power has given us everything required for life and godliness. Everything that you need for your life this year, everything you're gonna need for the choices that you make in high school, for the things that you have to choose about with your friend group, for what you're gonna have to do in college, to what you're gonna have to do with your grandkids. Everything you need for life and godliness, for living as he would live, for experiencing the ultimate fullness and meaning. That's what it means to live like God. He's experiencing the ultimate of everything, and he's inviting us into that. Everything you need, you already have through his divine power. And you get it through the knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. By these, he has given us very great and precious promises, so that through them, you may share in the divine nature. Can I just ask you? My wife was asking me earlier this week, she's like, what would you say to somebody if they said, you know what, I am no different this day than I was at the beginning of January 2019. I made zero progress, nothing, no further along. And what would you say? So I'm waiting for you to tell me what I should tell her, because it was a really stumping good question. And then as I thought about it, it was like, I think I would say start. Just start small. But take the right small first step. Can you believe, if scripture is true, and we believe it to be, the writer, Peter, who knew Jesus as a best friend, he said that as you do this, you can share in the divine nature. Do you know what that means? You and I could literally find the kind of life this year that's way more than exercise routines, diet plans, and budgets. It could be sharing in the very life and movement, adventure and beauty of God. This could be the best year of your life. It's gonna be the best year of our church's life. We are moving in a direction of closeness with God and of new things to encounter and new places that he's gonna take us like we never have before. That's gonna happen this year, but we're only gonna be able to recognize and have the power to stick in it if we develop closeness, intimacy with him. So if we're gonna change this year, if we're gonna make some changes, we're gonna have to make sure that we're choosing the right things. And I want to leave you with two final thoughts. One of them is, I'm going to say this in a nerdy way, and then I'm going to say it in my grandmother's way, all right? But it's a really important thing for you to consider as you think about why you need to build this discernment, why you need this relationship. And it's this, because you're going to have choices to make. The consequences are huge. Some of you are facing them right now. You're going to go home today, and you're still going to have to think about it because it's time to make them. Others of you don't even know they're coming yet, but they're going to happen sometime this year. And when you have that choice, here it is. My choice is your choice to either obey God or to choose your own way will have lasting consequences, which one may not be immediately apparent. You know why you need discernment? It's because sometimes you can't see past the next step. You can't see the consequence right in this moment, and you need God to show you. The second, they affect others far more than you would expect. Some of us are thinking about doing things, and we're like, but I'm the only one that's going to be affected. You're not. It's going to affect your family for generations. It's going to affect your business. It's going to affect lots of others, for good or for bad. And finally, the consequences are going to last longer than you could have ever imagined. You think it'll be a temporary thing, it won't. It'll shape the rest of your life, for good or for bad. My grandmother would say it like this. She passed away 10 years ago this weekend, so this is kind of a tribute to her, and I probably should have started this way. She said, sin, that's choosing my own way instead of God, will take you further than you want to go. It will keep you longer than you want to stay, and it will cost you more than you want to pay. Should have started with that. Sin, choosing your own way without discernment, without being able to engage in this relationship with God to know his will, it will take you further than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you more than you want to pay. That's wisdom. That's wisdom that she learned over time spent in an intimate relationship with her creator, who knows her, who met her where she was, who taught her about herself, and who loves her so much he'd let her be safe to change. So, final thought. Here's how we change. Author, psychologist, Christian guy named Henry Cloud. Love his work. It's great for interpersonal stuff. One of the things that he talks about is the ingredients for change. He says this, change requires three things. It requires grace. Grace is unmerited, unearned favor. It's what God shows to us. It's the ability to look at someone and without them doing anything to deserve it, choosing to be for them, to love them. That's God's part. Change requires grace, God's part. Second, it requires truth. This is our part. This is the action step for this year. Okay, we're gonna do it together starting right now. Truth could be defined as reality. Ultimate reality, ultimate truth is God. It's his word, it's his thoughts, it's his scripture. And so this year, I want us to start out today a building block for your new relationship with God, or maybe you've had it for a long time, but to move into a deeper relationship, we're gonna do it by engaging scripture, all right? This is for every, this is all skate. Everybody, doesn't matter what age you are, you can all do this. We're gonna take one little, like flossing one tooth at a, you know, at a time. We'll take one little step if that's what's needed, but we're gonna move into getting truth in us. This is our part, and so you can do that in a lot of ways. You can listen to sermons. You can download podcasts. You can be in a community with other people engaging in this scripture. The most impactful thing, the thing that psychologists and people who do research will tell you that will change your life the most is engagement with scripture daily. So here's what we're gonna do. I'm gonna show you this right now. As a church, starting tomorrow, we are gonna read together for 21 days. And I'm gonna invite you into that right now. 21 days, one chapter a day. Here's where you're gonna find it. If any of you have the Bible app, YouVersion Bible on your phone, your device, you can go to that. If you don't, I don't care. Take it out right now and go ahead and download it. It's just YouVersion Bible app. I'm not offended, I promise. Go ahead and put that on your phone. Then search under plans for John Reading Guide, like the one that's checked right there. Click that and you will join in with as many people from all of our campuses together reading John one chapter a day. It'll send it to you. You'll wake up and it will be in front of you with some notes. It can't get easier than that. It's setting the floss out in the morning for you. Read for 21 days. My family, we're trying this already. And so I've got two teenagers and a kindergartner, five of us. And we're trying to just read one chapter a day right now at home. So at night after dinner, we're sitting down to do it. It's not always perfect. I mean, there's crying and, you know, some days, and then they calm me down and I get okay. But like we don't do it perfect, but it's like exercise. You just keep doing it, even do a bad time of it. We're experiencing trying to engage this because we want to grow with you in our relationship, our intimacy with our creator this year. Because it's the foundation and the goal for everything that we're doing, both in this series and in our lives. You can do this. Grace, God's part. Truth, our part. The third ingredient for change is time. That's the hard part. Because we want this to be like right now. You're here and you're thinking, I've got to get my life together. And you're hoping that it's by Thursday at noon. And it's not going to be. It can be better. That's why we're calling the series A to B. We're not going to get all the way to Z in this. That's not the Christian life. But it's not gonna be fixed all the way yet in one moment. It takes time. Dr. Cloud says this, I love the way he sums this up. He says, for God's system to work, you have to have all three. Grace and time together without truth will make you comfortable in your stuckness. This is where some of us are. We've experienced the grace of God. We've been doing it for a while. We're not engaging truth anymore, and we're just stuck. It's kind of apathy. If that's where you are, we need to move. It's okay. I'm saying God's meeting us where we are. But if that's where you are, move from A, apathy, to B, begin, become, start. Grace and time without truth makes you stuck. Truth and time together without grace will discourage and it will break you. Some of you, this is your story. You understood God and Christianity as rules, and you tried your best, and it didn't happen fast enough, and you tried for a long time, and there was no grace involved. You thought it was all on you, or even if you knew it wasn't intellectually, you acted and tried like it was, and you just stopped. Some of you are giving church a try again because of that, or some of you are here, but you don't believe any of this because you've lived that life. It's broken you. Some of you are watching online because you don't even want to go to a church, because this is what happened. And I want to tell you, you missed an ingredient. Add in the grace of God. The final, he says, grace and truth together without time will give you a vision, but not allow you to complete that vision. You'll get frustrated and you'll quit. All three must go together. I think Dr. Cloud is on to something that's directly from God. The one who knows us in ways we don't know ourselves said, this is what you're going to need this year. Grace, truth, and time. God's part, our part, and the hard part. Would you commit with me to engage in building your relationship with God this year as the first and primary resolution that you make? We'll help you take small steps, beginning right now. I'm telling you, if that happens, everything could change for you. Your life can be totally different January 2021 than it is right now. We'll be different as a church, but we got to start. So here's the big idea. Closeness to God, not commitment to your goal, is what will give you the power to truly change. You can white knuckle, bear down, grit your teeth, get accountability groups, set reminders on your phone, whatever. You can do all of that stuff and try your best. But without building intimacy with God, you will not be able to sustain the kind of growth that you truly want. So let me pray for us. I'm going to ask that you just pray with me. I want to pray for us individually, and I want to pray for our church going into the future. And I want to ask that maybe for you, if as we pray, if this is day one, you know the phrase, it's either one day or day one. Well, this could be day one for you. This is the first time that you're going to engage intentionally and meaningfully with your Creator. I'm going to pray that you have all kinds of courage and strength. If you didn't think that you were able to because of what you did that disqualified you or who you were or whatever your reason has been, I'm going to pray that God would just show you his mercy and grace right now. I'm going to pray that together we get to live into this new identity that God's bringing us by his grace and mercy. So, Father, first, thank you that you give us the rhythm of creation that has new starts. And interestingly, that you put a brand new start like January 1st in the middle of winter, where we're still gonna have time before we see the beauty turn and life spring up. We have to start our plans while it's still cold and dark. And that's sometimes how life feels. Father, I pray that you would give us first, gathered here together, a picture, a new understanding, a new experience of one, your grace already shown to us. We are saved by grace. You have moved toward us when we didn't even want it. God, would you overwhelm some in here right now with that truth? I thank you for your truth, your scripture. The fact that you've preserved it and you've kept it available for us all these years and you give us access to it. God, would you help us to have the courage, to have the faith, to read and to begin to engage with it, to know you. I pray you'd speak loudly. Lord, I pray that you would help us to, on those days where we feel like we messed up, we'd line ourselves up with the truth that shows us a standard that's impossible for us to live up to, and then shows us a Jesus that was willing to do it for us. God, give us an experience of your truth this year. And as we take our time, God, as we step into 2020. I pray that you would give this church, that Forest Hill would have bold courage to address the issues that are around us with kingdom light and love. That we would go to work on areas of injustice, that we'd go to work on places that are broken. God, I pray that you would work in the big things that we're to take on this year. But I pray also that you would work in the small things, the ones that no one may even know about. I pray that addictions would, even beginning right now, would begin to be healed. I pray that marriages would begin to be put back together. I pray that folks who are stuck in bondage to pornography or to other things, God, that keep them enslaved, I pray that you'd begin to break those. God, I pray that relationships that once were lost, that we'd begin to move toward and sense your grace reestablishing. I pray, God, that this would be the best year that we have ever experienced together. Because no matter what comes, no matter what surprises us, you're there. You proved that at Christmas. And so now, God, we're going to trust it moving into the next 365 days. We love you. Jesus, I thank you for setting us free. I pray now that you would take all these words and you would make the ones that need to stick in each heart stick, and anything that wasn't necessary, you'd cause it to fall away, so that you alone get glory for this. In your name we pray. Amen.